Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
Welcome to Estate Planning Experts. I have the good fortune today to be interviewing Mark DiGiovanni from Marathon Financial Strategies. Mark is a popular author and speaker. He is also a CFP ambassador tasked by the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards to support the CFP Board's consumer advocacy program. He addresses the financial issues of the American consumer through public speaking engagements and media appearances and is the author of 6 books on various topics in the area of personal finance. He was also named by Atlanta Magazine as a 5-star wealth manager last year for the 6th straight year in a row. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. What inspired you to become a financial planner?
Well, actually, about 25 years ago, I was working as an underwriter at a big insurance company, and at that time, I was also completing my MBA and studied for and passed the CPA exam. Didn't think I ever was going to practice as a CPA, but I was already sort of on that track. As a result of that, a lot of people in the office started coming to me for informal financial advice. I liked being able to help them, so I began to pursue to find out whether or not there was actually any career as a financial planner and what it entailed. And that led me a little over 20 years ago to leaving that job and going into financial planning.
And did you start, did you found Marathon Financial Strategies then, or did you work a number of other places before founding your own company?
I was a registered rep for a couple of other firms, but within the first year or so, I actually did establish Marathon as my own firm. So it's actually been 20 years now that it's been.
Wow, congratulations. That's a testament to your skill and persistence in helping people in the industry, because obviously, the turnover among financial advisors can be quite high. So the fact that you've stuck around for over 20 years speaks volumes as to how well you serve your clients.
Well, thank you. I hope to stick around for 20 more.
We hope so, too. If we were to get a whole bunch of different experts in the room, they would probably, you know what? Like, let's say CPAs, CFPs, attorneys, they might all have different definitions for estate planning. You happen to wear a number of those hats all on one head. If a layperson were to ask you, a prospective client were to come into your office and ask you what is estate planning, how would you answer that question?
I think I could probably answer it in one sentence, and that's this, is that when done well, estate planning means leaving the woodpile higher than you found it.
Leaving the woodpile higher than you found it.
Yes.
That's a great explanation.
I think it's something everybody can understand, and it gets right down to the whole reason why you're doing it in the first place.
Absolutely. What do you like most about estate planning?
I like the idea that, let me back up. Money as a tool is one of the most effective inventions that we have that can reach into the future and affect people in positive ways. And what estate planning does is that it enables a person to be able to reach into the future to help people that they may never have known, may never meet, didn't even know existed, whether it's setting up estates and trusts for great-great-grandchildren, whether it's funding an endowment that may provide scholarships or aid 50 years into the future, whatever it happens to be. It's the idea that you get to do something and have an effect and a positive effect on people long after you're gone.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see clients making when planning their estates?
Well, probably the first mistake is not planning at all, not realizing that they need to do something, even if they have a modest estate. It's very important to start with something as simple as a will. What most people don't realize is that they do have an estate plan, whether they've put it in place or not. In most cases, that estate plan was designed by their state legislature. So if they don't have a will that specifically states how they want their assets distributed, the state legislature has taken care of that, and very often that doesn't meet what the person wanted, how they wanted their estate to be distributed. So that's the first thing that they need. The other thing, I think, is that a lot of times people don't pay proper attention, or they tend to ignore negative scenarios going forward. One of the things about that, for example, is they may underestimate how long they're going to live or how expensive it's going to be to live to a ripe old age. And certainly things like medical costs, long-term care, and things like that can certainly affect what the estate is going to look like when the person finally passes on. That's really important, for example, people who own a business. I think part of estate planning, if you own a business, is business succession planning. And that's not only to make sure that the people, that your heirs, get to take over a thriving business, but also that the employees and their families don't suddenly find themselves out of work because the business succession plan wasn't in place and the business had to be liquidated to pay estate taxes. And then one of the other things I think that's really important when it comes to estate planning is that when you have an idea of how you want your estate to be distributed, that you have a conversation with those people who will be the heirs and beneficiaries, so that when it's time to read the will, nobody gets blindsided. I think those are the biggest mistakes that I tend to come across.
And how do you help your clients solve those problems?
Well, one of the things that I like to be able to do is I like to, first of all, bring up the topic fairly early on. And one of the things that we have to realize, too, is that in order to do proper estate planning, we first have to accept our own mortality. And that's not easy for some people. So we have to talk about the fact that, you know, someday you are going to die and you're not going to be able to take any of this with you. God was very good at making sure that didn't happen, because if he hadn't, then there wouldn't be anything left for any of us at this point. So they need to recognize that and move forward based on that, and trying to picture what things are going to be like, what their loved ones are going to deal with when that person is no longer in the picture. So that's an unselfish act, because, like I said, you have to first accept your own mortality and think about, you know, the world after you're no longer in it. So we kind of start that conversation. And one of the things that that I like to do is I like to kind of bring in the spiritual side of that a little bit to kind of ease people. And just to recognize, you know, you're not gone so much as you've simply had a metamorphosis. And that makes it sometimes a little bit easier for them to be able to move forward and start their estate plan.
What estate planning strategy do you use that you wish more clients knew about?
Well, most of my clients don't tend to be wealthy enough to where they get into the federal estate tax situation. I mean, I've had a few over the years, but by and large, because the estate tax exclusion has gone up considerably over the years, most of my clients don't have to worry about that aspect, or they can deal with it simply by having a trust set up rather than just having the simple "I love you, you love me" type wills, where everything is left to the surviving spouse. So that isn't so much an issue, but the biggest thing I think is just making sure that they give careful thought to what it is they want to do. They lay it out, they think about it, they put the things in place, and that they inform the heirs. One of the areas that tends to be the biggest trouble area, I think, when it comes to estate planning, when you have multiple children, especially, is the conflict between being equal and being equitable. And, of course, equitable means to be fair. Equal means dividing everything up in the same proportion. Now, I don't know if you're an only child or not, but if you have any siblings, you know that not all the siblings are equal in terms of their needs, their abilities, the way they've cared for their parents, the sacrifices they've made, etc. And sometimes an estate plan needs to reflect not so much maybe how much of a sacrifice the children made for their parents, but rather what are the needs of the children. I have a situation with one of my clients who has siblings, and her father passed away about 6 years ago. He was also a client. And because she had children who had special needs, he left a little more for her than he did for her siblings. And she did not know that at the time. And the problem was that those siblings accused her of having undue influence and using that influence to get more for herself. And it's created a real rift with her and her siblings. Now, going on to the next generation, when I began, I didn't know about this particular thing until I began to talk to her about her two children, because she was working on her estate plan. And she has, like I said, one child with special needs and the other is doing very well. So I talked about, you know, you may want to think about leaving a little more for the special needs child. By child, they're a young adult, but leaving that more. And she was, as much as she understood the logic behind that, she said, there's no way I can do that because I would not want to create a rift between the children that she herself had to go through with her own siblings. Which, of course, is one of the reasons why, if you're not going to do something really simple and divide everything equally, it's extremely important to be able to talk to the children and all the heirs about what you're doing and why, so that they're not surprised when the time comes to find out, and that they can actually get behind it and be supportive, and that hopefully the person doing the estate planning then may be able to clarify any questions or concerns that someone has long before the time comes to actually move the estate.
I think that absolutely makes sense. Who is an ideal client for you?
Well, when it comes to, you're talking about estate planning, I like someone who is smart enough to have been able to accumulate a decent estate, who's wise enough to know that they can't take it with them, and who is caring enough to want to make the world a better place even when they've gone on to the next world. I love working with people that are smart enough and wise enough and caring enough. And it really is a thrill to be able to help them create a legacy.
What is, if any of our listeners fit that criteria and are resonating with what you're sharing and want more from Mark and Marathon, what is the first step you would want them to take?
Can you repeat that question? It was breaking up a little bit, please.
Sure. If any of our listeners are resonating with what you're saying and want more from you and Marathon Financial Strategies, what is the first step you would want them to take?
I would say the first step is to contact me. They can reach me at